Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it's time to talk Vikings football. The 1-0 Minnesota Vikings with the Purple Insider himself, Matthew Collar, joins us courtesy of the John Schuster Cole Baker Hotline. How was Chicago?
I ate well in Chicago, as I always do, and I got to say that the Soldier Field crowd is pretty darn impressive when they are at full throat. They don't always get to be, but they certainly were for the first half of that football game. And, you know, no matter how much we talk about J.J. McCarthy played at Michigan, he's been in tough atmospheres, there ain't nothing like Monday Night Football in the National Football League in Chicago in a legendary arena. And I think the players, not just J.J. McCarthy, felt that a little beginning of the game. But, you know, I got to say it was one of the more interesting locker rooms to be in afterward, and just how those guys talked about how that game played out. And then, you know, listening after the second viewing of all the guys going back and watching the tape, you know, initially they were very, very pumped about what happened. And then I think after review, they were pretty disappointed in themselves in that first half, because a lot of people could have been better, not just J.J. McCarthy.
All right, so tell me, what did you see out of J.J. and just the offense overall in that first half?
Yeah, I think that the first thing was that getting to the line of scrimmage, getting the call in, getting it relayed to all the players, getting them lined up was a problem. There was no question about that. And then the early part, I think that Kevin O'Connell was trying to get J.J. McCarthy some quick and easy completions, and they just didn't come to fruition. You know, some of the concepts they ran are kind of slam dunks, and, you know, there was one thing or another went wrong, whether it was the left tackle being beaten quickly, which happened repeatedly, wide receivers, you know, not maybe getting their route details right, or J.J. McCarthy not getting the ball out on time. And there were a few times early in the game where, you know, it's crazy how this sport works, where, you know, one quarter of a second late is really late in football with your timing. But, you know, that happened a few times to J.J. McCarthy early. And I thought as the game went on, you know, he got better with that. But also, you know, they let him down a few times. I mean, there's a Jefferson drop, you know, down inside the 20-yard line. There's another one that's a little high, and Jefferson today was extremely hard on himself about the way that he played, and I doubt that, you know, Jefferson will play a worse game all season long than what he played in Chicago. So, you know, I think with McCarthy, the big thing for early on was that he did not throw the game away, where, yep, you know, I think he could have panicked in that spot when things weren't going his way, when receivers weren't open or he wasn't seeing it or he wasn't getting calls right. And he didn't. And I think that staying on track and staying the course allowed him to settle down. And, you know, eventually they come back to win the game.
We know that the Minnesota Vikings are going to go to another level when they are fully healthy and when they have all of their explosive players back. When Jordan Addison's available, we know what he's going to bring to the offense. When Christian Darrisaw is back in there healthy, we know what he brings to the table. With Darrisaw, how close are we to getting him back?
Well, we talked to Christian today, and he was mum on the situation. He said to about three or four different inquiries, like, you're just going to have to talk to Kevin O'Connell, which doesn't sound to me like a guy who's ready to come back. Plus, he was limited today in practice, not two full practices in a row, which I would say is pretty concerning for him getting back to 100% and getting on the field. They could really use him. I think Justin School is a typical backup that is going to leave you disappointed. You're going to have to survive them more than you are thrive as an offense when you have a poor left tackle in there. But at the same time, you just can't push Christian Darrisaw. I mean, he's got to be 100%, not 99.9, 100%. This is a franchise left tackle. This is a megastar type of player, a guy who's a franchise player. He signed his huge contract. You don't want to go out there and have him have problems and then have swelling or soreness or something and have it plague him all season long. He's just too important for that. But at the same time, it didn't look too good without him out there. So, you know, they're in a little bit of a tough situation, not wanting to push him all, but knowing that they really need him.
Talking to Matthew Collar, courtesy of the John Shusakola Banker Hotline, the Purple Insider himself. How do you feel about Kevin O'Connell as a head coach? Like, are we looking at him as a top five coach in the National Football League? Are you not ranking him that high? Because when I look at everything that kind of played out, specifically in that fourth quarter, I got to be honest with you, man. I looked at Kevin O'Connell, and I was like, man, he's pushing all the right buttons when they finally needed to take that next step and when they got that momentum.
Yeah, I mean, I think from an accomplishment standpoint, there's a lot of coaches in the league who are more accomplished, especially in the postseason, than Kevin O'Connell. But from a process standpoint, how he handles his culture, how he teaches his players, the people that he hires inside the building to be his wide receivers coach, his offensive line coach, his defensive coordinator, the way he connects with players, the way they adjust in games. I think all that stuff checks boxes for Kevin O'Connell to put him in an elite category. If you're drafting all coaches and you say, I need one for the next 10 years so it's not Andy Reid or Mike Tomlin, you're probably picking Kevin O'Connell in the top five. I wouldn't pick him over Sean McVay based on what we've seen. You know, McVay's got a ring and, you know, head-to-head beat him twice last year, so I think McVay's still the young king. But, you know, I think O'Connell's really showing the way that he handles things, especially his calm under fire, that, you know, I had this stat in an article yesterday that when his starting quarterback is playing, so not Josh Dobbs or Jaren Hall or whatever, they've had 25 games separated by 7 points or less, and they've won 20 of them. That's a pretty big sample size to say that when this coaching staff has things happen like they did against Chicago, they don't win every single time, but they certainly win a lot, and I think that all ties back to the head coach.
You were in the building in Chicago. You were there. You were able to see it firsthand. What was your evaluation of the secondary? Because we know that the Minnesota Vikings secondary has been a question mark in the offseason into the regular season.
Yeah, I thought they had a pretty tough day at the cornerback position where there were a few times that either Ben Johnson just straight up fooled those guys or they made wrong reads, and there were too many open receivers for I think even Brian Flores' liking. He pointed out one mistake that Isaiah Rodgers had. It was kind of interesting. I saw from Chicago that one of the wide open plays was actually DJ Moore going off script and not even running the right route. So it was, I think, maybe Brian Murphy or Byron Murphy had jumped the correct route, but then he ran something different. So sometimes it's really hard to tell with that stuff. But, you know, overall, you walk away at the end of the day and you look at Caleb Williams' stats, not too impressive. And, you know, he had a few impressive plays. And some of them also, you know, if you're asking a cornerback to cover for 6 seconds as Caleb Williams runs all over, you know, the earth there, It's pretty hard to do, but I thought there were too many times where guys were just getting 20 or 30 yards open, and sometimes Williams missed them, and Williams bailed them out on several wildly inaccurate throws. So I think they need a lot better, especially if Drake London is close to 100% in this game or Darnell Mooney is 100%. Those guys can really hurt you. But it's going to probably be a question. I just think with Murphy specifically, usually he's pretty darn good, and I thought he had a tough night. But when you have pressure like that, as they did, you kind of see the impact is mitigated. I also thought the safeties played really well. And this week is going to be a big challenge because Jeff Okuda looks like he's pretty unlikely to play. He's in concussion protocol. He's missed each of the last two practices. So now you're talking about Dwight McGluthern is the next man up, and it's probably going to be a lot of three safety looks for them. But that remains the big question. And this quarterback doesn't get sacked. I mean, Michael Penix has an incredible ability to get rid of the football before he gets hit. So the corners are absolutely going to be tested.
All right, Atlanta. What do you make of the Atlanta Falcons? I know that they dropped a week one in their matchup, but what have you seen from them, or what do you look at them and you say, you know what, I'm concerned about the Atlanta Falcons, maybe outside of Bijan Robinson?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think that it starts with the sheer amount of talent that they have. I mean, on offense, which is, you know, London, I think, is a top-notch receiver. I know you said outside of Bijan Robinson, but Bijan Robinson, like, he's a scary dude. He could catch the ball, run for a 50-yard touchdown. I mean, he is incredibly talented. He hurt them last year. And I think if you're afraid of something from their offense, it's that Michael Penix has an absolute cannon, and he is willing to take risks and make throws downfield and make plays. And if he has time, or if he just gets rid of the ball before the rush, you could see sort of shades of what Jared Goff did to them last year with some of those blitzes, because that's one of Goff's things usually is getting rid of the football. On the defensive side, it's really their secondary, I think, is quite good. Bates, the safety, is excellent. AJ Terrell is excellent. They have former Vikings first rounder Mike Hughes, who's turned into a pretty good player. I don't think they rush the passer particularly well, but I think they cover well. And so Justin Jefferson today, when he's talking about how his routes and his details has to be better, strong agree. They're going to have to be really good because AJ Terrell is a great player. So I think Raheem Morris too knows how to take advantage of young quarterbacks. This is a good team. I don't know if they can win the division or not. I don't know if they're going to win 12 games or not. But I think Atlanta is going to be in that playoff conversation at the end of the day.
Who do you like in this matchup?
Well, it's interesting because the line is, I think, 43.5 and a 3.5-point favorite for the Vikings. And I could just see it playing out exactly like that, like 24-20, lots of back and forth, maybe a little craziness from both quarterbacks, a little scatterbrain, you know, moments for young QBs against good defensive minds and things like that. I think the Vikings are just a little more talented. I kind of felt the same way last week going into Chicago. It's like, yeah, I could see Chicago winning, but I think the Vikings are just a little bit more talented. The big question, though, for the Vikings is who plays. Andrew Van Ginkle has not practiced. Ryan Kelly has not practiced. There's some
Cashman's out.
Concerns. Yep, Cashman's out. I'm less concerned about that because I think Eric Wilson's a really good player. But yeah. Ryan Kelly's an incredible player. I mean, he's one of the best centers of the last 10 years, and your drop-off is to a seventh-rounder who's never played. So, I think this is going to be a tight one.
Hey, real quick, before I let you go, we all know, like, the story of J.J. in that fourth quarter. He was spectacular. I love the fact that he didn't get down on himself. I love the fact that J.J. didn't get down on whatever. It's game one. Who was the most underrated player, the player that played well in game one that maybe flew under the radar?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in. the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's a good question. It's flying under the radar. I think people did see Javon Hargrave chasing around Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
But I think Javon Hargrave is one of the best players in the entire NFL, and he was a monster when he got that sack right up the middle. And then he made one of the best plays that I've seen a big man make, cutting off Caleb Williams as Williams is scrambling basically one-on-one with Hargrave, and he finds a way to get him out of bounds. You know, I thought there were a lot of big moments there from the defense and probably Donovan Jackson. I mean, we talked about it quite a bit, but I thought Donovan Jackson had a fantastic, fantastic first game. And it's funny, I was talking to Donovan in the locker room today, and I asked him about practicing against Javon Hargrave. And he said, well, playing in real games was a lot easier than playing against Javon Hargrave. So, but, I mean, if you drafted a rookie left guard who can impact the game the way that he did in week one, and he does that for 17 weeks, you're going to be in really, really good shape for a long time with Donovan Jackson. So probably him.
Yeah. Hey, Matthew, man, always a pleasure. And I think that I might see you up in the press box on Sunday night.
Okay, I'll be sure to avoid you, and we'll try not to see you then. No, I'm just kidding. I'll see you then, Henry.
All right, take care. That's Matthew Collar, the Purple Insider, joining us here on The Lake Show. All right, coming up next, you know what time it is. It's time for Bite of the Night. That's next here on The Lake Show. Bite of the Night tonight comes from Walter Masterson. And you guys have probably have seen Walter before. He is one of the individuals that will interact with people politically, that will go to rallies. He will talk to them. He's kind of a comedian. He'll crack jokes. It's almost like what's the group of? The Good Liars and stuff like that. He
yes,
does a
yeah.
similar bit.
Kind of like the same thing as Jordan Klepper from Daily Show does.
Yes,
as well.
Yes. So he's... He basically does that, and he goes out there and he will have these conversations at rallies and different events politically, and talk to a candidate's base or their supporters. And sometimes he'll, you know, step up and he'll talk to people, and a lot of times those people will look bad because he'll ask them basic questions and they won't have great takes. Well, you know, he's an individual that goes out there and he understands that there are times where he's putting himself in harm's way, and he gets that. And he had some questions and essentially wanted us to think more moving forward. And I think he's more so specifically speaking to supporters of Charlie Kirk after this tragedy that occurred yesterday after his assassination. just about how, like, we're going to be able to move forward and be more constructive.
We're at a very real moment where we could have a real conversation about gun violence, gun control, access to mental health care, expanding access to mental health care. If you support Charlie Kirk, are you going to have that conversation, or are you going to scapegoat trans mass shooters, immigrants, the radical left, that stuff, right? The choice is yours. Just for the record, I've been putting my body in harm's way for years. There's videos of me going up to people that don't like me and calling them out and mocking them, all nonviolently. You will not find a video of me raising my hands towards someone. My hands have stayed, you know, at my waist, even as I've been shoved, pushed, punched in the head. To call us the radical left, try again. This is very absurd. I've always been aware that what happened to Charlie Kirk could happen to me any day, given how public I am, given where I go. That was very chilling to watch that. Not because I like him. I don't like him at all. I don't care about him. He's shown zero sympathy towards anyone else. I do worry that MAGA is going to use this to justify more violence. The government has been bearing down on citizens, and they're going to use that as an excuse for more violence. Like I said, there's a real conversation to be had with regards to access to mental health care, gun violence, all of that. Are you going to have that? Or are you going to do the trans mass shooters, immigrants, gender ideology, it's the radical left once again nonsense? It's up to you.
That is something that, in terms of addressing this and looking at it, and being frontal and upfront about it, is that in the second segment of the show, after we talked about 9/11 and we got into the Charlie Kirk stuff, that's where I started. I started with, like, what are we actually going to do? Like, I think that when we talk about working through our problems and solving our problems, we have to look in the mirror and own up that we have a problem. Like, it could be whether it's with alcohol, it could be with drug use, it could be with infidelity, it could be whatever it is. You have to look in the mirror. You have to acknowledge, I have a problem. And I think that in our country, we do not want to admit that we have a problem. We just don't. And that is, we're rotting from the inside out. At what point, Chris, will we acknowledge that we have fundamentally a problem? Because not acknowledging it is not addressing it.
Some people don't think there is a problem. It's easy when something bad happens to blame it on somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. It's somebody's, you know, like you said, the woke, liberal, radical agenda. Like, all of these buzzwords are put out there. There's never any self-inflection, right? And I'm a big believer in self-reflection. Like, I've looked at myself many times. I'm like, I didn't do this good. I'm not good at this. Like, maybe I need to rethink this. We get to the point where we're just so set in our ways, and we're just going to feed into whatever we feel makes us happiest.
I look at this.
It's hard to look at yourself and acknowledge that you got a flaw.
I think that we talk about being divided, and people don't want to live in a divided America. How do we get better if we don't acknowledge our issues? That is tough, man. There's no way. I truly believe that. I believe that if you think that just ignoring it, that all of one day everything's going to be fine, that when the next pandemic happens, that it's just, or when it gets summertime, it's just going to evaporate in thin air. Like, if you're one of those type of people that just thinks like that, you're not rooted in reality. You're just not. And I hate that, because I know that we can be better. All right, 651-461-9226. Coming up next, Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park. Not only this weekend, but the next weekend, they have horse races. The final week of the meet is next week. I have questions about this summer's meet. We do that with Jeff next year on The Lake Show. All right, one of my favorite places, although I typically don't get a chance to just kind of go and hang out for hours like I used to back in the day, back in my day, is Canterbury Park. But Canterbury Park, nonetheless, I go there, make some wagers, I bolt out. Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park checks in with us here. They have another, two weekends of their meet this weekend, and then they wrap it up next week. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Well, it's good to hear you, Henry. Things are good. Things are good. You're right. We're wrapping up here. We race Saturday. We've got 8 races Saturday, starting at 5, and then...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
3 days of racing remain after that. Wednesday, we have 8 races.
Hey, hold on, Thursday. Jeff, hold on 1 second. We got a bad connection here, so let Chris put you on hold for a second, and we'll see if we can kind of work that out. We'll just go ahead and put him on hold, Chris, and then we'll see if we can get a better connection here. He had the kind of the echoey robot type of thing going on. So let's see if we can get Jeff back on a better connection here, because we want to make sure that we get this thing laid out. I got some questions for him about Canterbury Park and how they're kind of wrapping up the season and how actually the season's been. So it'll be interesting to see what Jeff has to say, which, look, I love going out there. I love making the wagers on the horses, specifically the Triple Crown days. But let's get Jeff back on the line, courtesy of the John Schutzko Banker Hotline. Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park. Are you there?
I'm here, Henry. How's the connection now?
That's better. That is great. So sorry about that. So yes, you guys got this week and then next week, and then that wraps it up for the summer season, correct?
Yeah, 4 days of racing left. This Saturday, then Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So it's not my favorite time of the year, to be honest with you, because I really love the live racing season. But each year it ends, and then we get ready for next year.
Okay, all right. So kind of summarize and talk about from the business side of the meet, how have things gone for Canterbury here in 2025?
It's been both successful and challenging. Our crowds have been good. The fan base is still there. They come out, and for all the different events that we do, that we incorporate with racing, the crowds have been good. We're just over, I think, 5,200 average crowd per day, which is really good. And the handle's been good. The amount of money wagered has been good. Now, because of our purse, you know, constraints, we've run fewer races, which means fewer opportunities for the horsemen, for the owners and the trainers. So we had a smaller population on the backside, but the trainers that were there came to race. So our starts per horse and numbers like that in our field size have been pretty good and enough to support solid handle. So there's been good things and not so good things, but overall it's been a safe meet, which is really important. And it's been fun. It's been a good time, and the fans have given us some really positive feedback.
From the perspective of the people that have come out and hung out at Canterbury or just kind of taken in the horse racing, about roughly, just in general, about roughly how many fans have probably made it out to the park this year?
I would say, you know, we're going to have run 50 days. I would say, you know, there's unique fans, probably a couple hundred thousand, I would say. I mean, what's kind of cool about it, like other events, like, I'm not going to say we're not the state fair, certainly, but Valley Fair, places like that. It's on a bucket list, a summer bucket list. People check it off. So we get people really from all over the region coming to Canterbury, which is great. It's fun to be on that calendar for a lot of families. And then, of course, we've got our regular customers that love horse racing, that of the 50 days, we'll see them for 47. So, you know, there might be a wedding getting in the way of showing up, but things like that. So it's a mix of a lot of different types of people. And you know, some are really there to gamble. Some are really there to just enjoy everything that goes on during a race day.
I would just blame Chris. Chris told you at the beginning of the meet that he was going to bring his family out there. He didn't show up. So Chris did you wrong. He did you wrong, Jeff.
Yeah,
he owes you one.
I do. I owe Jeff. I'm so sorry for being who I am.
Well, you know,
there's always next year.
Chris will call today. I know he's coming out, and then no call. So
there's always next year, man. There's always next year. There's always next year. So now, like, one of the things that I love about Canterbury Park is that you guys do a lot of cool events over the course of the meet. You have, like, the food truck day and stuff like that, whatever. How many specific, like, event days would you say that you had this year for the meet?
We had something going on for sure every Sunday, and those were mostly, you know, the more family-oriented events like the dog races. I think we had five different breeds of dogs, and they all came back and ran against each other on another day. We had the extreme day with the ostriches. We had unicorns and llamas, which is a whole different crowd, but it's a good way to introduce people to the track. And then Saturday nights kind of became our more culinary-centric evenings with our Taste of Canterbury or Beer Fest and Seltzer Fest and events like that. So then we added $2 Thursdays. We had six Thursdays this summer. We made them $2, and that was, again, another different crowd with a DJ and with kind of a different vibe. So we're trying a lot of different things. We just had a big marketing meeting yesterday to discuss what worked and what didn't and what we can do next year. So the planning is already in motion, and you know, I think we're going to try a lot of new things and bring back the ones that really are successful.
You know, one of the things I think that clearly is going to take off, even more so in the years to come, is just everything surrounding Canterbury Park. Like, I know that Canterbury Park is the destination, but the stuff around Canterbury Park is making it much sexier and more attractive too. Like I told you, when I came out there for the MMA fights and stuff that one night, and then walked over with Caleb Truex and some other people over to the boardwalk, which is literally right there. Like that stuff is cool.
Yeah, and that's been the plan, what we call Canterbury Commons, and that's, you know, Randy Sampson. That's been his vision to create that synergy. And now next year we'll have that amphitheater, the 19,000 capacity amphitheater, which will draw more people. But you're right. Let's say we've got a concert at Canterbury. You stop at Boardwalk, or you stop at Mr. Pig's Smokery or Bravi's, the Mexican restaurant, have dinner, and then come over to the concert, or vice versa. You head over there afterwards. Same thing with racing. I mean, we see the Boardwalk is packed every night, especially on racing nights. They've really, really benefited. So that's been a huge kickoff. But, and, you know, and we're not done with the development. We've got a whole huge swath of land along County Road 83, which is Canterbury Road, yet to be developed. So, and we've got, you mentioned Boardwalk, right, literally right on the racetrack.
There's another two or three pads next to that. So I could see a hotel there overlooking the track, maybe another entertainment venue. So, I mean, we're far, far from being done. It's just continuing to grow. And it's the racetrack is in the center of it all, which is, to me, the most important piece, that we are still a racetrack, but we've got so much more to offer.
What do you think is the next, I think, big thing for Canterbury Park? What is the next thing that maybe you guys are efforting, or maybe even just kind of like brainstorming about to keep you being more relevant in the future? Because I know the amphitheater and all that stuff, whatever, is going to be emerging there out there in Shakopee. But, you know, we're always trying to brainstorm about how to make Shakopee a better place and how to make Canterbury a better horse racetrack.
Yeah, and it all goes back to that development. And I know there's a lot of different ideas, and we've contracted with people that are familiar with other cities trying to develop kind of like that entertainment destination, whether it be like Nashville. I mean, we're not going to be Nashville. We're going to try to be something unique that doesn't exist elsewhere. So trying to find those first in market kind of, it could be, you know, and again, it won't be like a Topgolf because Mystic just opened one down the street. So, but things like that that are new to the area that we know will be popular, and it's going to have to include hotels. Because that's been the theme, is that, you know, Canterbury Commons, a place to work. Well, we've got some office space. Stay, we need a hotel, and play. And we need a place and live. So we've got places to live. We've got plenty of Triple Crown apartments. We've got another 55 and up development over on the southwest side. And then there's some single family units as well. So we're missing a couple of those components yet. But that's really what the vision is, to create that type of place where you can come and either live there or just come and visit and stay. Enjoy what we've got to offer. Plus, don't forget, Mystic is down the road. Valley Fair is down the road. You've got Renaissance Festival this time of the year. So just a lot of reasons to come to Shakopee. And we're going to keep growing it and doing it in a sensible, responsible way, though. That's going to be great for the community.
Anything special happening next week to close it out?
It'll just be some really good racing, I think. I'm looking at a lot of turf racing. If you like turf races, I think half the card each day is a turf race of some kind or another. So it'll be good to just kind of give that farewell to everybody and, you know, hope that we see them all back again. But there's been some clear cut. You know, you get Harry Hernandez, who's a really good jockey, will win the title. Jose Silva Jr. is going to be the leading trainer, probably. He's got a fairly comfortable lead. But, you know, Mac Robertson's had some really nice horses. So it's fun to now, if you're a race fan, watch these horses and see where they go, because there'll be some trainers going down to Keeneland. There'll be some headed to the East Coast or down to Florida or out west. So if you're a race fan, following these horses and knowing what they can do elsewhere is kind of what makes it fun to play the simulcast game from here on out.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, man, always a pleasure to have you on, and I will see you at some point back at the park. I might even drop in maybe on Saturday and make a couple of bets.
Yeah, come on out and hop up to the press box and say hello.
All right. That's Jeff Bidet from the Canterbury Park joining us here on the Lake Show right here on The Good Neighbor. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to headlines. That's next year on the Lake Show. All right, let's get to the headlines here on the Lake Show. Chris Tubbs has the headlines.
I
programming
do.
Note. We'll talk to Jesse Pierce because I want to know what's the scoop with this Kirill Kaprizov stuff. Like, I want her to break it down for me. Should I be concerned? Should I not be worried?
He doesn't
want
to be here.
We'll talk to her in less than 15 minutes from now.
Yeah, what is it, dead to us? If he doesn't want to be here, then get out. Hey, according to charges filed yesterday, a student brought a loaded gun to his St. Paul High School and fled while being patted down by a staffer. Police captured him in a residence yard about a mile away. 16-year-old was arrested soon after the Tuesday incident, was charged in Ramsey County District Court as a juvenile with two felonies, bringing a dangerous weapon at school property and being a minor in possession of a gun. If the student arrived at 8:30 a.m. when the school day starts, the loaded weapon was in the building for roughly 4 hours before the teen fled. Como Park Principal Diana Brown informed students' families Tuesday of the incident. Now, according to the charges, shortly after 12:30, police were alerted to the report of a Como Park student with a gun. School staff told police that one student reported being shown the gun by the teenager. A school staff member patted the student down near the front office and, quote, felt the firearm, according to the charges. Student then ran from the building. Officers found the student in an alley north of Lawson Avenue and east of McCubbin Street. Resident told police that the student had been in the yard nearby in the 1000 block of Norton Street before he was arrested. Officers went to the home and found in the backyard the semi-automatic gun, which contained a magazine loaded with one round.
Yeah, it's not good. That is not good. A very scary situation. And look, I've been in a school. I found a gun once. That's not what you ever want to find in a school. Mm. I think in all my years of working, I only found one in a locker. And, yeah, not good. It doesn't make you feel, it makes you feel very unsafe.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
because you don't, it makes, what is the, we don't know what the intent is.
Yeah. And it makes everybody from a staff perspective feel mm-hmm. safe that we were doing our jobs, right? Like as other staff, looking out for other staff and the students.
But what's next?
But whenever you have a kid that has any type of weapon, it could be a pocket knife, whatever, like you never want to see that happen.
Yeah. And no question. Hey, M&M's have announced a new flavor that is sure to have fans of the popular candy buzzing. I know you're going to go out and get yourself some honey roasted peanut M&M's.
Oh, I didn't know about this. I'm glad you put this in headlines.
Yeah, either that or maybe that's just me that's going to go get some. According to the company, it's the perfect blend of crunch with a taste of honey sweetness in every bite. In a news release, the company said, quote, the roasted peanut delivers a satisfying crunch while its nutty flavor pairs perfectly with the M&M's signature milk chocolate in a golden honey glaze. Now, the honey roasted peanut flavor will be a permanent addition to the candy's lineup and will be available in select retailers, including Walmart and on MMS.com nationwide starting in September 25th. And I mean, I know you've got the M&M's website bookmarked.
I love this. Like, how do you not love this?
Sometimes you look at flavors, you're like, oh, that's rancid.
I have to be honest. This sounds delicious.
It sounds amazing.
And it does.
And if it's going to be permanent, then you don't have to worry about going out and getting a, you know, got to get it limited edition. It's like, no, this is not like one of those little, what are the furry things now that people love? Like not Lululemon, Lula Babies?
Oh, I'm not hip on those.
Lula Babies, Lullabies.
I need somebody to kind of get me hip on all of that.
I don't even know what they are. So I know that they're kind of the in thing, but... yeah, this is not going to be a craze heaven for that. And finally here, Bad Bunny is revealing why he stopped performing in the United States. The caught stealing star in an interview with ID Magazine, published on Wednesday, said his announcement that he wouldn't be performing in the U.S. amid a 30-show stadium residency in Puerto Rico was out of concern for the U.S. political climate. He told the outlet, quote, there are many reasons why I didn't show up in the U.S. and none of them were out of hate, specifically for residents here in Puerto Rico. There's an incorporated territory of the United States. People from the U.S. could come here to see the show. Latinos and Puerto Ricans of the United States could also travel here or to any other part of the world. Now, the singer cited the Trump administration's mass deportation of Latinos as a specific motivation for his decision to stop doing shows in the United States. He said, quote, ICE could be outside my concert. It's something that we were talking about, very concerned about. Bad Bunny announced the stadium residency in his home country in January, assuring fans he would eventually be making the rounds to other countries.
I can't sit here and say like I'm some massive fan of his music, but I love that guy. Like, he stands on business.
He does, and he was hilarious in Happy Gilmore too. He was Bad Bunny was so good in that. Bad Bunny's a talented dude.
I haven't seen the movie yet. Was it really good?
It was better than I thought.
Okay.
And my expectations were very, very low.
You didn't say it was good, though.
It was better than I thought. I'll say that.
It's not saying much. All right, that's going to wrap up headlines. Jesse Pierce, Bard on Beauty's podcast. He joins us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.